Welcome to Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and the Wren.
Welcome, one and all, to another podcast of Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and
the Wren.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Long time no see since our last podcast.
That's right.
Now, Mr. Wren, I got to tell you, you know I'm a huge zombie freak, right?
I do know that about you.
I'm like one of the biggest, hugest zombie freaks around. And I do research on movies that I'm, you know, looking for stuff I've never seen.
Exactly.
Right? In the zombie genre.
Because we love the zombies.
Because I love me some zombies. I heard about this zombie movie. I don't even remember where I heard about it. But you know how I am. I'm dyslexic. I don't always read the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that has come back to bite me in the butt. Because I did some research.
That's an odd choice of words, considering what we're about to talk about.
I know, right? And I heard about this zombie movie called L.A. Zombie, and it had won some kind of award or something. And doing some research, I found out that it's a porn movie.
Oh, my God.
So, of course, I didn't add it to my collection. But in doing the research, I got to tell you, man, you know how porn movies have these weird titles, right? Well, zombie porn movies are no different.
See, that's crazy to me. That
zombie porn.
Because I love me zombies, but rotting flesh isn't really sexy to me.
Well, listen to some of these titles of some of these zombie porn movies.
Okay.
Porn of the Dead.
That's pretty good.
That kind of goes without saying, right? Night of the Giving Head.
I like that one.
My God. Dawn of the Head. Okay. Oh, God. Beetlejism. I mean, Beetlejuice wasn't a zombie movie, but still. The Re-Penetrator. Okay, now, these are pretty funny, I have to say, just as titles. I mean, it's hilarious. But this next one, it was like, they weren't even trying.
Right.
Okay. Listen to this. Monster Tit Sex Zombies. I mean, come on. If you're going to make a zombie porn movie, at least be creative. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my gosh.
But at least now, you know what you're getting in that movie, man.
I just want to say, in no way am I at all what's the word? Condoning or suggesting that you go out and watch any of these movies.
Yes.
I just happened to stumble across these things on the internet.
This podcast does not support necrophilia.
We do not support necrophilia or porn for that matter. I mean, you know, hey.
Publicly anyway.
At least not publicly. Exactly. Am I stepping on some toes there? Okay. On a different subject now. Real zombie movies. We're gonna talk about the movie today that I think you and I both love, if I'm correct. And the movie is called Slither.
Oh.
Now, was this a zombie movie or not? I was actually kind of confused.
It's kind of. I mean, what's great about this movie? It's definitely influenced by the horror movies of the 80s.
Yeah.
So it's sort of every horror movie you loved in the 80s sort of mishmashed into one film. And zombie is a part of it.
It definitely had some zombie-like people in it. Now, I don't know if they were completely dead, reanimated, or just like out of their mind or whatever. But anyway, the movie was absolutely amazing. So let's talk a little bit about it. It was Slither, came out in 2006. If you have not seen this movie, you've got to see this. I mean, this is classic stuff here. It was directed by James Gunn, written by James Gunn.
Who also wrote the Dawn of the Dead
remake. Starring Nathan Fillion.
That's right.
Elizabeth Banks.
Ugh.
And Michael Rooker.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, man. I mean, it was an all-star cast. It was just a bunch of amazing people who did an amazing job.
Yeah, it's a great film. And we have talked a little bit on this podcast about tone. Mm-hmm. I believe the first movie we reviewed, one of my problems with it was that the tone was off.
Mm-hmm.
This movie does the same thing where it's scary sometimes, disturbing sometimes, romantic sometimes, funny sometimes. But it works. All these tonal shifts completely work. I completely buy into the story, and I'm with it with every twist and turn.
Well, it's funny because earlier when you and I were talking about, you know, preparing for the podcast and having a conversation about this, you made a comment that I stopped for a minute and I thought, you're absolutely right. But you said, this movie was a love story.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're right. It was a love story. I mean, you don't really – it doesn't like hit you in the face with, boom, this is a love story. It's certainly not like a romantic comedy.
It's your standard love triangle.
It is.
You know?
But one of the people in the triangle happens to be an alien monster creature thing from outer space thing or whatever. But it's really an amazing movie. The special effects, I got to say. Sometimes when people put too much CGI in their movies, you know, it's like eye candy, and that's all it has going for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to say that this movie used all of the CGI that it did very, very smart.
Yeah, and it's a low budget, but it still looked good.
Yeah, exactly. And the slithering creatures, I mean, the creatures that kind of give the movie its name, these little slug things or whatever,
mm-hmm.
They were amazing. They looked amazing. The CGI was just absolutely phenomenal.
It's fantastic. Basically, the setup for the film is an asteroid lands near this small town, somewhere in the south, I think, and it infects one person, and that person becomes alien and monstrous and starts doing shit.
Mm-hmm,
and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, the cast I love. Like Nathan Fillion, I'm a huge Firefly fan.
Uh-huh.
Captain Malcolm Reynolds, so I love me some Nathan Fillion. I think he... part of me hates him because I think he has more charisma than any human being should have.
Yeah, exactly. He does. He really does.
Elizabeth Banks is so beautiful, and yet she has such amazing comic timing. She's so funny.
You know what? The scene I really loved in this movie... You know, I mean, he kidnaps the girl and, mm-hmm. and force feeds her raw meat or something. I mean, it's just really disgusting. But when they find her in the barn, oh, my God. I lived on a farm.
Uh-huh.
And on a farm, I had dogs. And, you know, the dogs are outside and they get these ticks on them. Mm-hmm. These big, fat, juicy, gray things that look like they're disgusting. They look like a jelly bean. I mean, they're huge.
Okay.
Yeah, you know the little black ticks that get, you know. Okay, well, I don't know if they actually drink enough blood that they get so huge, but there are these huge, ugly, like disgusting ticks that get on your dog in farms and stuff.
Wow.
And they're huge and they're fat and they're about the size, they get about the size of a marble. I mean, they're
no
big.
Way.
Yeah, they're huge. And when I saw this girl in this barn and she's blows up huge because she's been eating all this stuff. She looked like a tick. She looked like one of these big, bloated, disgusting ticks. And then, of course, if you watch the movie, you'll see what happens to her and everyone else. But it's just the special effects there.
Yeah,
the makeup
great.
Was just amazing.
And again, talking about the cast, Michael Rooker, who plays the monster, he's been in films like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
He's
great in it.
He is.
Again, what's great about him, I find, is that he's not winking at the audience. He's playing that role straight.
Yeah.
Like, he's a monster, and he's
he's one of these guys that you see him in so many movies. He's always a supporting kind of character actor kind of guy, you know. And this was really interesting to see him kind of in a... I don't know if I've ever seen him in kind of a lead role before.
Michael Rooker?
Have you?
Well, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. But
okay,
I think he's a supporting actor.
Yeah, mostly he does like supporting
stuff. Supporting cast is
and he's
great.
Usually kind of a... He's usually kind of a thug, kind
yeah,
of a
yeah.
southern kind of yeah. redneck thug yeah. kind of character. But he was great in this. I loved him in this.
And my favorite actor in this is Greg Henry. He's, again, an actor you've seen in a lot of films. He plays the character of the mayor, and he literally steals every single scene he's in.
I loved his accent. You were asking me earlier where this was supposed to, like, take place. Being, you know, me being from Texas, I mean, I don't think it was supposed to be, like, Texas, but I think it was supposed to be, like, maybe the Virginias or the Carolinas or something, because they all had this kind of southern slang kind of thing going on. But his accent was hilarious. I mean, and it was believable. But it was believable in a comedic kind of way. But it was fun. It was a fun. It's a fun horror movie.
It's great.
It's
everything. It's sort of you've got alien invasion story, monster movie, zombie movie, everything
classic that you ever loved. Now tell me, body parts. How many did you give it?
Ooh, I would give it 8.5 out of 10.
Internal organs. 8.5 out of 10. I'd give it at least 7 or 8. Maybe 9. Yeah, let's say 8. 8.
Right.
Okay, and we'll be coming right back right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the most death-defying show in town. Zombie Circus. A tale of love, lust, betrayal, revenge, sex, violence, and gore.
We know you're dying to read it.
That's right. Get your copy of Zombie Circus at www.keithcarpenter.biz or get it at amazon.com. Well, welcome back. This is Keith. Thanks for joining us back here on Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter. I think the Wren stepped out to sharpen his machete in the event of a zombie holocaust or something. But anyway, we're back from our break, and I have a friend of mine, a very dear friend of mine. I've known him for years. He is no stranger to Hollywood. He's worked in many Hollywood movies as not only a special effects guy, model builder, and a puppeteer extraordinaire, But he's done a lot of different things we can't even begin to tell you about. But anyway, I want to introduce...
Some of them actually legal.
I want to introduce Mr. Paul Pastore. Mr. Paul, say hi.
Hi, Keith. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me in.
Paul Pastore, just to give you a little background, Paul Pastore is not only a diehard zombie freak like myself.
Oh, yeah.
But he's also a puppeteer, like myself, because I am also a puppeteer from years gone by. But Paul here has done a lot of interesting things. Paul, if I'm not mistaken, you've worked as a puppeteer and doing animatronic puppetry and things like that on movies such as going back to Batman Returns, Alien 4 Resurrection, Men in Black 2, which is more kind of up to date. I've seen that one not too long ago. It was an awesome movie. My favorite Martian, which I kind of got a kick out of.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad someone did.
And some horror stuff, some Brian Usna stuff.
Brian Usna.
Rottweiler,
yeah. We shot that in Spain.
And stuff that everyone has heard of, like Hellraiser 4 and things like that.
Yeah.
So tell us kind of how you got into this. What first of all, what made you get into doing puppetry?
Puppetry, was always, as a kid, about 10 years old, I started, you know, the typical sock puppet thing. I was playing with sock puppets, and my mom gave me the box of the new dryer that we'd bought, and I wanted to make a puppet stage.
She
thought that was okay. So but I went a step further. I put in working curtains and lights and moving backdrops.
Did you catch the box on fire with?
No, I didn't. I was lucky. I did almost blow my hand up once while trying to splice a cord that was still plugged in. But I learned very quickly not to do that. But yeah, and then I would take it out in the backyard and I would do shows and then sell Kool-Aid in the intermission.
And I'm guessing that love for puppetry kind of somehow over the years translated into the whole movie monster thing.
Yeah, essentially. It was, I never thought of it as a serious career. I always loved like watching the Muppets and that sort of thing, but it always seemed like a faraway thing that somebody else did. And many years later, I'd been a musician and done a few other things, and I ended up at Universal Studios as a tour guide, and they were having auditions for puppeteers for the new American Tail show based on the cartoon, the Steven Spielberg animated thing with Fievel the Mouse. And I thought, wow, I've always loved puppets. I'd love to try that. And they had this huge 16-foot-tall puppet of Tiger, the Dom DeLuise character, and I auditioned for that.
16 feet tall.
Yeah.
How many people operated this puppet?
Three people.
Jeez.
One on each arm and one inside that operated all the body and head movement. And it was a marvel. It was built by this puppet builder called Randy Simper. He built things for Sid and Marty Croft back in the day.
Which you've worked for.
Sid and Marty Croft. I've worked for them a few times. And it just got me started on that whole idea of being a puppeteer.
Well, let me interrupt you just because I know we don't have a whole lot of time, and I want to talk to you about some things. How did that end up translating into the horror aspect? Because obviously on Rotten Zombies...
Yeah, I have always been a horror fan. Even as a kid, I would go to scary movies that would terrify me, but I just loved them. As a small child, my favorite film to this day, you know, Robert Wise's The Day the Earth Stood Still, which isn't technically a horror film, but that scared me. But then I came back to it, and I fell in love with it, and I began to watch horror films and then zombie movies. I saw George Romero's Night of the Living Dead on TV when I was young, and I was, you know, I had nightmares for weeks, but it was just fascinating.
Wasn't
it? And such a it has that amazing kind of almost documentary feel to it. And
I remember the first time I saw that.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine worked at a movie theater and got me in free. It was a midnight movie matinee.
Mm-hmm.
Scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've heard stories about how when that movie came out, I mean, because back then people kind of took their kids on Saturday
mornings,
dumped them at the movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, and back then it was all, you know, it was Abbott and Costello meets Dracula, or, you know, or The Mummy or Frankenstein.
Whatever.
And all of a sudden all these kids that are so used to being dropped off by themselves in the theater back in the late 60s, early 70s, and they were just terrorized by this movie.
Yeah,
it was so scary.
Yeah, so extremely
there was actually
scary.
Some backlash and people, you know, picketing and, you know, causing a lot of...
Yeah, they heard about that. Yeah,
it was a scary movie.
Interesting little trivia, though. You know that George Romero, he basically invented the zombie genre, never called them zombies.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah. Well, you would.
But it was kind of taboo for a while to even use the name zombie in a zombie movie. But, well, okay, that's that's really cool. Let me ask you this, because I think people are probably interested to know. What is your all-time favorite zombie movie?
My all-time favorite zombie movie?
And why?
I have to go back to Return of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living
Dead. It's amazing. It's funny, it's terrifying and scary. Linnea Quigley is naked in it. That's always a good thing. What really, there's the one particular scene, the tar man coming out.
Oh, God.
And then going, more brains. And he smacks his head off with a baseball bat.
Oh, that is awesome.
I had to watch that scene when it finally came out on video. I'd watch it like five times to figure out how they did it. And it actually was just clever editing. But it was this, you know, it was pre-CGI. It was pre-all that stuff.
It was amazing.
Everything was puppets and so forth.
And that zombie is my all-time favorite zombie.
Oh, it's an amazing thing. It's just, it's so scary and so interesting. And, I loved it. And it changed the, again, changed the genre. You know, now zombies aren't just eating flesh, they eat brains, and they're and it just, it was a whole different thing.
Well, and you know, and that's where the, like, I think you and I, we were talking about this earlier, that's where the whole brain eating thing But I saw an interview with Dan O'Bannon,
yeah.
I saw an interview with Dan O'Bannon, and he was talking about how when they were conceiving that movie, they didn't want to follow the Romero way of the zombie movie, and they purposely made it funny and kind of made it a parody or tried to, and it actually ended up pretty darn scary.
Very scary, yeah.
But that was kind of the whole reason. So you almost have, like where the roads split, and you've got the Romero films that went this way, and the Living Dead films that went this way, you know, and which are cool because they're both really, really cool. Mm-hmm. But each of them kind of added their own bits and pieces to the genre.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, the Romero films have the lumbering, slow, well, until recent days, the lumbering, slow, creepy zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the Living Dead string kind of,
and they would incorporate
the talking like, remember the old lady that was like the half going,
with
brains, we want brains, you know, and she's explaining that eating brains makes the pain of being dead go away.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit towards the cheesy side.
It was, you know, but he committed to the cheesy in such a way that you accepted it, you know, like when they grab the ambulance drivers and they kill them, and the one zombie gets on the radio, send more ambulances.
More, ambulance.
It's fantastic, and that's the idea of commit to what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you say that he was diverging from Romero, but that movie constantly referred to Romero.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I don't mean
which
that
I thought
trying,
was interesting.
Yeah. He just didn't want to go. He didn't want to be perceived as copying.
As trying to copy.
Romero.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Which was good because really. Because for zombie fans out there, it gives us more stuff
to
choose from. Yeah. Because I'll tell you, I love all the Romero movies and all the sequels. And you know, but I also really have to say that I love all of the Living Dead movies.
Yep.
And a Return of the Living Dead movies and the sequels.
Mm-hmm.
I only recently saw Return of the Living Dead 2, which
is
kind of weird for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a freaking diehard zombie freak. But I never had access to it. I never could find it, you know, for a while.
That was a hard one to find.
To find. And I finally got it, and I love it, you know. And it's got that tongue-in-cheek, like the very end where the zombie woman's head's like, she says some kind of really stupid line. I can't remember. But it's just a great movie.
It is.
But what I want to ask you now, because I know, it's so cool to sit down and talk to you, Paul, I have to tell you, because you have so many cool stories about the stuff that you've seen and the stuff that you've been involved with.
Yeah.
I want to know, out of all the movies in Hollywood that you've done puppetry work for, special effects, or even if you were just slime thrower number three on the left, you know, whatever
it was.
I've
been that.
I know you have. What is the most interesting thing that ever happened to you on a set of a horror movie, whether it be as a puppeteer or just whatever? Tell us one of your little anecdotes of maybe one of the most interesting things that's ever happened.
Probably one of the more, I guess, historically interesting things was killing Paul Naschy in a helicopter with a Rottweiler puppet. In Rottweiler, the Brian Usna film. Paul Naschy, who's a very famous Spanish horror film director and just the sweetest guy, played a character in there. And my dog, the Rottweiler that we built, I was working for Vincent Guastini Productions at that point. We built all these dogs, and I did the main one that attacked. In that movie, I killed five people, a dog and a chicken. With my puppet, and
that's kind of weird. I killed him with my puppet.
But you know, a pretty scary puppet. But it was killing Paul Naschy because you get this old. He's at that point when we were doing that movie. He must have been in his late 60s, early 70s, maybe, laying on his back with his puppet, drooling bloody slime into his face, and a total professional about it. And then we'd stop and, I'm really sorry, and we'd wipe him up, and he was just completely wonderful about it. And it just the idea of this icon of that era coming in and me ripping his throat out with the dog puppet.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul. So I'm going to stop you right there because we have to go to a break. So we'll be back with Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter right after this.
Rawr.
Thanks for sticking with us. I've got Mr. Paul Pastore. So we were talking about one of your favorite moments during a horror movie. What about some of the other ones that we've heard of, like, you know, like Men in Black, which isn't really a horror
Men in Black 2, not really a horror film.
Well, Hellraiser 4, right?
Hellraiser 4, yeah. I actually owned a model shop. We were called Pinnacle Filmworks. But we did all the miniatures for it. We did a space station. Because this Hellraiser took place, a lot of it took place in space. Mm-hmm. It was Hellraiser in space. It was very interesting. It was quite a task getting that movie going because you knew from the beginning the producers were just down everybody's throat constantly.
Well, now, if I'm correct, because I am a huge, I mean, obviously a zombie fan, but if I have to say if there's like a franchise of horror movies that I am absolutely in love with, it is the Alien franchise.
Ah, yes.
And I love Alien. I loved Alien. I loved Alien 2 is probably my favorite. But Alien 4 is right there.
Oh, you really? Oh, yes. I'm glad you like that.
And I would love for you to tell me some of your experience you had working on that movie. Because I know you've told me that you helped manipulate the alien queen.
Yeah, I was when the queen's giving birth, that's when you see the head screaming in the air, that's all my work. Yeah.
Wow.
There were totally 11 people operating the queen, but you know, everybody doing arms. We had a couple people inside.
It was a damn big puppet.
It was full size, yeah. It was and the interesting bit of trivia on that, the skull from it was the original alien queen skull from Aliens.
Oh, wow.
We got it from Stan Winston and refurbed it and used it. So it was the original queen skull. The rest of the body, we built a new one. Fantastic. It was kind of such an honor to end up being able to operate the queen alien.
Yeah.
I also did some puppetry on the baby, the hybrid baby, the creepy thing.
Man, and, that was a creepy scene.
It was a creepy thing.
Makes me cringe.
Well, getting it sucked out the ship was a big part of what I did because that was thought of during production. That was originally one of the crew was going to get killed that way.
Yeah.
And the director liked it so much that he said, I want the baby to die that way. Originally, the baby was going to be climbing through the thing we called the pizza oven.
Mm-hmm.
It was this weird, it looked like a pizza oven, basically. It was just supposed to be like a passageway through the ship, but it had fire in it for some reason. Mm-hmm. They were going to roast him to death, kind of almost like Terminator, squash him in something. But he loved it. So we rigged up this suck out the guts, inside out baby. And we put it together in about a week and a half.
Wow.
Yeah, using the skins and things that we'd already made up. The full size baby, the one that Sigourney Weaver kisses very creepily, was actually an amazingly built hydraulic puppet, and it was all computer controlled hydraulics that were running.
Now, I've got to ask this just because I'm such a fan. I'm a big Sigourney Weaver fan, but I'm also a big Ron Perlman fan. Did you get to spend any time with those guys?
I talked to Ron Perlman a little bit. He's just one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. He always plays such a mean character, and he's just so cool. And Sigourney Weaver gave the puppeteers stunt pay. She was a producer on the show. She gave us stunt pay, knowing how hard puppeteers worked from the other Alien shows she'd worked on. So she demanded that we get paid extra.
That's cool. So she's kind of your hero.
She is kind of, yeah, definitely.
Well, but back to Ron Perlman, I mean, and zombie movies. Mm-hmm. There's a really cool movie, The Mutant Chronicles.
Oh, I heard of it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my gosh. And it's sort of a zombie movie. It's they break into the planet and they get out. But Ron Perlman's in that movie.
Yeah, so I'll watch him. I'd watch him read a phone book. He's great.
You got to watch that movie.
Yeah.
It's really, really good. Well, gosh, Paul, it's really great to talk to you.
Well,
it's really been a lot of fun on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't see nearly enough of you these days.
So I know,
we'll
right?
We have to do this kind of thing more often.
We're going to have to sit down and have a zombie movie marathon.
I think so. Soon. You know what I'd like to see again? Fido.
Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while. That is fantastic.
Me neither.
I make a point of seeing zombie movies. I can't off the top of my head think of one I have not seen. It's what's new coming up.
But see, the thing is you and I, our taste in movies is a little different. I don't mind watching some of those really crappy...
Oh, the really cheesy ones.
The really cheesy B movies, you know? I mean, if they entertain me, I'm happy with it. And you're a little more picky, I have to admit.
It's
so
true.
I've probably seen some you haven't just because they're really crap and I don't mind.
Yeah. That's true. You have shown me a couple and I've just gone, oh...
Keith, it's like, how can you doing? Watch that stuff?
You write zombie stories. You know better than that.
Well, I just hope my stories are better than that. Anyway, thanks so much, Paul, for coming.
Thank you very much for
having me. I appreciate you spending time talking with me.
That was awesome.
And we'll definitely have to have a zombie movie marathon.
Yes, soon. We'll make it a date.
Okay, we'll see you later. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
So much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
And we'll be coming right back to Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter right after this.
A man diagnosed with an incurable brain tumor spends millions to place himself in cryogenic stasis until technology can be developed to cure his condition. But to his horror, he is awakened in a world torn apart by a plague of the living dead. Freeze-dried. The Awakening by Keith Carpenter. Available now at keithcarpenter.biz or find it on amazon.com. Just when you thought the sting of death couldn't get any colder.
Welcome back to Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and, supposed to be on the Wren, where we talk about all things zombie and talk about movies and books and everything, but the Wren just kind of took off. I don't know where he went. He grabbed his machete, heard some kind of strange noise, and off he went. So I'm not sure. Maybe we'll find out where he's off to in a minute, but until then, we have a lot more to talk about, but hey, hold on. Hey, you're back.
Whew, yeah, that was weird, man. I was just outside. I thought I heard something. I walked outside, and I thought I saw a zombie.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was like this 10-year-old girl who was a zombie. She had like blood all over her face, but really it was tomato ketchup.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, but I still cut her head off because, you know, better safe than
sorry.
You
got to be safe.
Just
come on.
The safe side. But
it's cool. Good to have you back. I just did an interview with my friend Paul. I'm sorry you missed it, but anyway. We do have a viewer question.
Okay.
We only have a little bit of time to talk about it, too. Sorry, we've lost track of it. Zombified from Austin, Texas asks, what do you think is scarier, fresh, bloody zombies or skeletal, risen from the grave zombies?
Oh.
Wow, that's a good question. Because personally, I like the old school coming out of the dirt, out of the grave, skeletal zombies. I think those are really cool. I think visually, they're really, really horrifying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The blood, guts, and gore, fresh wound kind of zombies are still scary too. But I have to say that the gross, out of the grave ones are my favorite. What about you?
I'd have to agree with you on that one. I find those creepier. But, I mean, they can't be skeletons. You still need that rotting flesh.
You have to have some sort of muscles left to move
the rotting flesh on it. But, yeah, I think I find those a bit creepier.
Yeah,
because there's something about – because they become almost unrecognizable.
Exactly.
They're not human anymore.
Yeah. They're just horrid. Horrid gobs of rotting flesh.
Yes, whereas the fresh ones, you can still see a human face.
The fresh ones are a little gorier because all the blood and guts and stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, listen, we'll come back right after this and talk more zombies.
Okay.
A man diagnosed with an incurable brain tumor spends millions to place himself in cryogenic stasis until technology can be developed to cure his condition. But to his horror, he is awakened in a world torn apart by a plague of the living dead. Freeze-dried. The Awakening by Keith Carpenter. Available now at keithcarpenter.biz or find it on amazon.com. Just when you thought the sting of death couldn't get any colder.
When you were little, were you fond of giant purple dinosaurs, fuzzy frogs, or silly bears with tiny hats?
Well, get ready to ruin your childhood memories. CreepyPuppetProject.com. Where zombies, monsters, and gruesome things abound. We're the reason people find puppets creepy.
Wow, we're almost out of time again, but I think we've established the fact that you like the creepy rising from the grave zombies.
Yes, too. I do.
Okay, because those are my favorite, and that was our question. So anyway, well, gosh, we just had so much fun talking about zombies today, man, like we always do.
As usual. Well, we're done?
We're out of time, dude. It's 30 minutes is up. I'll tell you, it flies by.
It does. I don't think half an hour is enough.
I know. It's not. We'll have to do something about that. But anyway, thanks for listening, and we hope you join us again soon on Rotten Zombies with Keith Carpenter and...
The Wren.
See you next time,
everyone. Bye.
We just want to entertain you just before we debrain you.
Ha 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 ha